give to them a constitution. God is going to give them his laws, his words, And they are to obey them. And when you follow the Lord and His ways, then well, you will be a holy nation. Because God's laws, God's holiness is established in your ways, in the way you live your life, according to the Word of God. And so what will be the impact if Israel as a nation would be that holy nation before all the nations of the world? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5 to 19. That is a retrospective perspective that was given by Moses before they entered the promised land, after the giving of the law, why God gave them the law. You know, God is going to make them a nation. And God said, you are not just a nation, but a holy nation. Behold, Deuteronomy 4 verse 5, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. You remember God gave a promise to their forefathers, to Abraham, that they are going to possess a piece of land. Abraham never lived to see it. Isaac never lived to see it. Jacob never lived to see it. But in the fullness of time, God is going to fulfill His promise to His people. So, they are going to be possessors of a piece of real estate that God has assigned to them. And what are they to do when they are established in the land that God has given to them? Verse 6 says, keep therefore and do them. Do what? Do all the statutes and the judgments that God gives to them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this nation is a wise and understanding people. This year we have started our devotions to study the book of Proverbs. And the wisdom that God gave for His people to live holy lives. Practically, what does it mean? In our Sunday messages, we are focusing on the study of the book of Proverbs. Very practical to show us how we can live this life according to God's ways. And so, when we do so, you'll find that God is going to use us as His witnesses. Surely, this great nation is a wise and understanding people. If you were to obey the laws of God, you'll find that the wisdom that God gives to you will distinguish you from all the rest of the people. For what nation is there so great who have God so nigh unto them, so near them, as the Lord our God in all things, is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as this law which I set before you? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons' sons, and thy sons and thy sons' sons. How important it is that the people of God learn the ways of God, and then to do them, and then to pass them on to their children. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently. Watch yourself, watch your own spiritual life, that you're walking close to God, according to God's ways, especially that day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, that's in Sinai. That's what we are seeing now in Exodus chapter 19. They are now in Sinai. Another name is called Horeb. When the Lord said to me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days of their lives. All the days that they shall live upon the earth. Remember what Solomon said to us? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So these are the same words. The same God who gave those same advice to His people. This is the same advice that He gives to us today. Especially the day that thou stoodst before me. Gather the people together and make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. So they must first live a God-fearous life, and then their mandate is to teach them to their children. And so this is God's instruction to them. And he shall come near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire in the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spoke out of the mouth of the fire, and he heard the voice of the words, and saw no similitude. Only he heard the voice. God is going to speak to them. God is going to give them his laws. And you know, these laws that God gave to Israel is the basis for the laws of the nations. When you adopt God's law, the nation would rise, because these laws are righteous in the sight of God. And he declared unto you his covenant, what God has, what he has promised to you, to make you a nation, which he commanded you to perform. Even 10 commandments, he wrote them upon the tablets of stone. So, the laws of God, the constitution of Israel, is going to be summarized by the moral law, the 10 commandments which God will give them on 2 tablets of stone. Take ye therefore, and the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess. So they are to be prepared. When they would be there in the land, God is going to use them. They need to know what to do. And take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spoke unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. God said that I did not appear to you in any form. God is a spirit. They only heard the voice. And do not make unto you any idols to represent me out of all the things of the earth, whether it is the creeping things, whether it is the likeness of male or female, whether it's the likeness of any beast, likeness of any winged fowl. Don't do that. Or when you lift up your eyes to the nation, you see to the heavens, you see the sun, you see the moon, you see the stars, and you worship them. And the Lord said that, no, you must not worship this. And serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole of heaven. The strength of Israel is in her laws. The strength of God's people is in his word, which he has committed to us, the oracles which he committed to us, the sacred words which is going to transform our lives and make it beautiful. And this is what God said to Israel. The keeping of the law will exalt this nation. It will be a witness to the veracity of these good laws, and points the nations of the world to their Creator God. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people if they live a life of righteousness, a holy life. God is going to bless them, bless that nation. Israel is instructed foremost to be faithful to their God. They were warned against idolatry, to divide their affections, that will divide their affections toward their God by worshipping the creatures more than the Creator. So the witness of Israel is for the glory of God, that the nations of the world may be directed to worship the living and true God. That's the purpose of God establishing the nation of Israel. God raised the church to be a witness to the world in the last 2,000 years to the truth of Israel's God through a remnant of faithful Jewish witnesses in the apostles. And remember, the nation of Israel turned against God. The Pharisees, the scribes, the leaders of Israel turned against God. But God chose a remnant that will be faithful to Him, who will be faithful to His Messiah, or to the Messiah that He will send, His Son, the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might believe that He is God and He is the rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. So the purpose of God making the nation of Israel is so that out of this nation will come the Savior. Jesus Christ will be the foremost son of the nation of Israel. But Israel rejected their Christ. They rejected their Messiah. God rejected their witness. And God raised the church. But God did not leave Israel without hope, without help. But God, in the fullness of time, we know that God established the nation back in the land again. And how He was, you know, declared as one of the nations of the world 70 years ago. In 2017 was the 70-year commemoration in the United Nations in New York, how God has established this nation. It was recognized by the nations of the world to be a nation amongst nations. Indeed, when we seek God and we know Him, we will find that our lives will be different. We will be a people above all people. Not that we are any good in ourselves, but it is God who uses us as His witnesses. But when we do not know Him and choose to go away from Him, then it's a very sad thing. We choose to depart from Him. Romans 1, 19-25. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. God stipulated how He is to be worshipped, how He is to be followed, and we are to follow Him according to His ways and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You see the similar thoughts that Paul is writing, very much the same as what Moses has written to Israel before they entered the promised land in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Wherefore, God has also given them up to uncleanness when they choose to depart from God, not to follow His ways, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So God wants us to see. So what are the three things that we need to watch for that make Israel a holy nation? What is the prerequisite? Verses 1 to 5a. 1 to 5a. The prerequisite for this nation. Okay? Now, yeah, to obey, that's right. You see here, notice that it was 90 days. Okay, in the first one says in chapter 19, in the third month after they left, remember their calendar began with the time at the time of the Passover, when they leave Egypt, they prepared to leave Egypt. This is 3 months after, 90 days after. Okay, when they left Egypt and they reach the wilderness of Sinai. Now you must be wondering, why is there the urgency to instruct the people of Israel concerning the eternal purpose of their existence? Why did God need to tell them so quickly the reason for their existence? Well, we must know, right? Why we are who we are. If we use our own imagination to think, and that's what men did in the last few hundred years. They said, I came from apes, evolved over millions and billions of years. And we have a very fertile and foolish mind, depraved, corrupt, fallen, foolish. So God had to quickly bring them back again to His Word, and that is the reason why the emphasis that the people of God must keep on take time to study His Word, to know His will, because you know, once we are deviated, once we do not come under the sound of God's word, our minds take over. That's the reason for the urgency. So that they may be His faithful witness in fulfilling God's good plan of salvation. The uninstructed and unedified mind wanders off on its own in its depravity to mischief. Wander off to mischief. This was the situation with Israel. When Moses was up in the mount, the people made themselves a golden calf for worship. He was just there for 40 days. And what happened? Just 1 month. Wow. Big trouble came. Big trouble came. This was the situation with Israel. When Moses was up in the mount, the people made themselves a golden calf for worship. Just a short space of time, and God allowed the devil to make inroad into the hearts of God's people. It shows to us how weak and prone we are to stray and depart from God. When we are away from the means of grace, in worship, in prayer, in Bible study, it is before long that we choose our own way and forsake the Lord's way. So it's so important that the people of God must be involved in the systematic study of His Word. And the prerequisite for blessing with God is faith and obedience, trust and obey. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. Why did God allow Israel to stray so far from Him? When you look at 2,000 years of Israel's history, you know, we are studying the book of Zechariah in our adult Sunday school. How, you know, God allowed them 70 years of captivity. 70 years, then 2,000 years. How to show us how weak we are. How, you know, when we are not vigilant, we are not on the guard, we are not careful, or we hear the serpent's voice, yea, did God say, and we'll be hoodwinked to take and receive this falsehood. And so, this is to warn us of the subtlety of temptation to deviate. The subtlety of temptation to deviate. Unless we will put to death the old self, and consecrate ourselves to our God, we can fall. So the Lord said to us, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Israel was reminded of what God has done for them to free them from the bondage of slavery. And as free men, God wants them to cherish their freedom of worship and consecrate themselves to their God. Remember what was the reason that Moses gave to Pharaoh that Israel should leave Egypt?
so that they may go to the wilderness and worship me. God said, and this was the reason that Israel may worship their God, because Egypt was polluted with the idolatries. They had what? They have the, all the idols. They have one idol which they would venerate each day of the year. That's how idolatrous Egypt was. And they practically worshipped everything under the sun, including the sun. And they are not, and Israel is not to forget why they were saved. We were saved from the bondage of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we may be a holy people, a witness to the mercy and goodness of God, that we may be God's true witness and a blessing to the world by our faith. Listen to the words of our Lord Jesus concerning our need to cleave to Him in fellowship and obedience to His commandments. John chapter 15 and verse 4, Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. For I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, then ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. As I have kept my Father's commandments." So our Lord set us the example. He followed the Father's instructions to the jot, to the tittle, and abide in his love. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full." So the first thing that the Lord gave to them, the prerequisite, what are they to do? They are to follow him, obey him, worship him, come to him. The privilege, when you do so, then, you know, what is the reward? Verse 5b says, "Then ye shall be a peculiar treasure." You notice, it says in 5b, then, after you have followed the Lord, after you have obeyed his commandments and walked with him, then, only then, "ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all nations, for all the earth is mine." So, the phrase peculiar treasure means valued possession or valued property belonging to the possessor of the heaven and the earth. That we belong to God. That he has made us wonderfully and fearfully made us. And we are made in the image and likeness of God. So this is our true heritage. God made us in his image. You know, so we look ourselves in the mirror and we said, sometimes we say we don't like ourselves. Well, no, we must not. Because God made us in his image. We are all bearing the image of God, you know. How dare we say we don't like what we see? Sometimes, you know, we don't like ourselves. How can it be? God made us in his image. So what do you see when you see yourself in the mirror? You see the image of God that he has done, or what God had done for us. So we are special people. You know, we need to remind ourselves that we are special. Do not forget your privilege. We are made to have dominion over God's creation till man fell. How are we peculiar
treasures. Remember, we were studying the book of Ephesians last year. We were studying the book of Ephesians, and we said, and we begin the origin of the church, the first message. What is the church? Then we said that, you know, what is the purpose of its existence? Now, this is what God is saying to Israel. What is the purpose of your existence? What is the purpose of God making the nation of Israel? God made the nation of Israel, right? God, that they may know who they are. So a church needs to understand from the beginning, from the very beginning, what it is, so that it can know what direction it should be going. So the truth, right, is that God is at work in this world through His church. God is at work in this world through His church. God's purpose is fulfilled through His church. His church. What is His church? His church is His people. We are God's people. And the church is the word that means called out ones. We are called out from the world. A people called out by God. So Israel was a people called out by God from Egypt. A representative name for the world. And simply speaking, we are a people chosen by the Father, purchased by the Son, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. This is who we are. We are firstly a privileged people, separated from sin unto holiness. Right? Remember when we were studying this? Having predestinated us, according as He has chosen us in Him, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us, having chosen us unto adoption of children, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Remember, Israel was asked to kill the Passover lamb before they left Egypt, and with the Passover blood, the Passover lamb, they are to take the blood apply it to the doorpost of their homes. And how, when the death angel came, when the death plague came, that would come upon all the firstborn of Israel, for the firstborn of Egypt, they were spared. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ to receive Him as our Lord and Savior, believing that He has died for us on the cross, He shed His blood to wash away our sins. That is how God made us a holy people. We are not holy in ourselves, but we are made holy by what Christ had done for us. We are made holy by the blood of the Lamb. We have redemption through His blood, verse 7 says, the forgiveness of sins. What is this redemption? How are we brought back to God? That's the meaning of the word redemption. We are brought back to God through the blood of Christ. Christ had to shed His blood. Blood has to be spilled. God's own Son had to die in order to win victory over sin. And the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And we are saved not by anything that we deserve, but all by the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God, wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. God made us to know the purpose of our existence, what He is doing to us, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven, which are in earth, even in him. So God is going to gather us together one day, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. So God chose you, and God bought you, and God is going to give you an everlasting inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the words of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the good news of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Spirit of God come now to indwell you when you receive the gospel. The blood of Jesus Christ wash you all your sins. You receive forgiveness of your sins, which is the earnest of our inheritance, right? Which is the down payment, the guaranteed down payment for your inheritance. What is your inheritance? That you will be given your reward, your inheritance in heaven in the time to come. So it is not yet known, in a sense, what the glory will be for you. But the Lord says that it will be, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So, we are a privileged people, separated from sin unto holiness. We are chosen by the Father, and Israel was separated by God as a holy nation by her obedience to the laws of God. The church too is to be obedient to the words of Christ as his faithful witness. The church is a purchased people in intimate fellowship with the living and true God. This is what we mean when we say we are purchased by the Son, and that we are a protected people, destined for heaven, sealed by the Holy Spirit. So the Lord tells us Israel was delivered from Pharaoh when God sent the last plague that involves the death of all the firstborn of Egypt. The unblemished lamb, the Passover lamb that was killed, and the blood that was spread on the doorposts of their homes spared them from the plague of the death angel. In Jesus Christ, we are saved from eternal death and given eternal life. We acknowledge our Heavenly Father through prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. Remember, we just studied the Lord's Prayer, how we call God our Father in heaven. There was a missionary, Alvin Douglas. He said, this is our happiest conception of God. Jesus taught us to address our Father, our God, as the Father in heaven, a loving God. And this is our happiest conception of God. Pagan religions know nothing of a God who is a loving heavenly Father. Pagan religions know nothing of a God which is a loving heavenly Father. Pagan religions portray God as immense, terrible, cruel, and one to be dreaded. But the Bible pictures God as loving, friendly, companionable, approachable, and desirable. It was the Savior who taught us to pray, Our Father. The new revelation of God. The Jews taught God as their Father. He said, in a national and political sense, Psalm 68 verse 5, God is described as a father of the fatherless and a judge of widows and a God in his holy habitation. But God is also described as the father of the nation. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son. Israel is my son. And God is the father to the nation of Israel, even my firstborn, the leading of all nations. Jesus says concerning our privilege as children of God, ye have not chosen me, John 15 verse 16, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye might go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he shall give it to you. You see, our great privilege as a people of God, we can call out to the Father, you know, and he will answer our prayer and help us do his will in our lives. Thirdly, the purpose. Verses 5b to 9. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Israel is to be a kingdom of priests. A kingdom of priests. Matthew 4 says, of their exemption and separation from all the people of the world as priests taken out of the multitude of men. And he speaks also of their consecration to the worship and service of God. So, you know, why do we have to emphasize worship? Why is it that the people of God need to come for worship on the Lord's Day, to be assembled together? Oh, we said that, never mind, I can stay at home for webcast. Anyway, you can see it on the screen. Why is it that the people of God needs to be gathered together? Why is it the tabernacle was to be built and the people of God are to face inwards and worship their God? It's a witness to the world, a witness to the nations, a witness when we assemble together on the Lord's Day to worship Him, of their privileges, because God conferred upon them singular honor, safety, and immunity. Right? When we come for worship, what do? We thank God for His protection over us, for what He has done for us for the past week, how He has been with us to help us. So how can it be that God's people would stay away from worship? It must not be. Right? We will be an unthankful people. Not a God-fearing people, but a fearless. Not good. A holy nation, purged from the idolatry and abominations of the heathen world, and separated from them by God, and by a holy covenant, and consecrated for His use, for His service. So God will instruct Israel to establish worship, right? As we study the book of Exodus, they will be instructed to establish worship. Remember when we were studying the book of Zechariah, what did God ask the people who came back from Babylon to do? They were trying to build their own houses at all costs. What did God ask them to do? Build the house of God. Put priority on the house of God. Put priority on your spiritual life, in other words. When you do so, God will bless you. You will not gather into a pocket filled with holes. Right? This is what Haggai the prophet wrote and said. You will gather into a pocket filled with holes. Right? You seem to be putting your money inside, but you know it's not there. It's gone all the time. Because God will not bless. You have not put Him first in your life. Israel is to be a witness to the nations of the world that they too, the nations of the world also, may come to worship their Creator God. A day is coming when the world will come to Jerusalem to worship the God of Israel, Jesus Christ, when He returns to set up His millennial rule. Zechariah 8:23 tells us, thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew. Take hold of the Jew, and said to him, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. We will go with you. We have heard that God is with you. So if you are a holy people,
a peculiar people before God, then you will be a witness to the nations. You will be the witness, a witness to your neighborhood, to the people around you, and they will take hold of you and say, I will go with you to church. I will follow you.
Yea, many people, Zechariah 8:22 says, yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. And you know something? The church shall rule with Christ in the millennium on earth. Revelation 20 verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgments was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which hath not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads and in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They shall reign with Christ 1,000 years. Like Zechariah 8, verse 1. As thus saith the words of the Lord of hosts to me, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth. And the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the mountain, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet all men and all women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for a very old age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in my eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. Not many people live to a ripe old age. The prosperous elderly in his old age during the time of the millennium is described here by Zechariah. The elderly today carrying a staff or tongkat is not a common sight. But in the millennium, it will be a common sight, the elderly holding a tongkat, to live to the ripe old age, like Mahalalel, 830 years, or Methuselah, 807 years, or Lamech, 782 years. It's a future reality in the millennium. Every Israelite will be a believer in the millennium, a partaker of the millennial blessings. There will be no terrorists or Scud missiles to deal with. Like today, countries in the world are gearing up for an aging population from the baby boomer generation. Many elderly care centers are being set up to care for the needs of an aging population. In the millennium, the elderly are cared for by our Lord Himself. Jerusalem will be greatly enlarged by God's intervention and creation. The streets will be bursting at their seams, full of young people playing in the streets. The streets are not terror-stricken, where people are demonstrating to topple an incompetent government. But an old man shall sit gazing on the scenes of peaceful beauty before him, with his aged companion by his side, to enjoy with him the refreshing breeze that comes cool and sweet. Sea. Before him and around him are the merry shouts of children playing in their happy childhood. Such a picture strikes the Jewish mind with great force, peculiar force. This is peace and prosperity and the presence of God in them. His true blessedness can only come when God is the ruler. True blessedness will only come to the Christian when God is his ruler. God's word is the blueprint for a blessed life right here and now. Are you appropriating it? They shall still bring forth fruit, O age. They shall be fat and flourishing. May the Lord bless His good word to strengthen and comfort and energize His people to be witnesses for Him. A holy nation, prerequisite, a privilege, purpose. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy word. May Thou be merciful to guide us to live a life that is worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. That we are a peculiar people, a holy people in the sight of God. May Thou be merciful to help us. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, Amen.